Charlie, thanks so much for the time. Good to talk to you, and I know you're about as ready as anybody for this thing to get started this weekend.
I am, Chris. I appreciate you having me on, buddy, and I'm just excited. I think that this is probably as exciting a race in the SEC as we've had in years. I mean, you look at the SEC West, and it's just loaded. I mean, you don't know if Ole Miss or Mississippi State is going to have a breakout year. You look at LSU, they've got the new quarterback and Brandon Harris and Anthony Jennings, both of them going to play kind of similar to Alabama. And then you know that Alabama is just absolutely chock full of talent up there, and if they can get pretty good quarterback play, they're going to be outstanding. And Auburn, you know, coming off of a really good season, trying to, for the first time, have two good seasons in a row. I'm just excited about the SEC West, and then the SEC East. I'm sort of leaning toward Florida a little bit, Chris. I kind of think that Kurt Roper, the new offensive coordinator down there, is going to be fantastic for them, because Jeff Driskel has needed somebody like Kurt Roper to be able to harness his talents and to get the ball distributed to some of those great skill position players that they have. They've been terrible on offense, and I think this year they're going to be pretty good on offense, and we know they're really good on defense. But then you look at Georgia with their new quarterback in Hudson Mason, and you wonder if he's going to be as good as Aaron Murray. I don't think he'll be quite that good, but everybody's talking about what a great spring he had and how good he's been in fall practice. And then you look at Dylan Thompson and, quarterbacking up at the game with the Gamecocks in South Carolina, and they probably bring back as experienced an offensive line as anybody in the nation, and they got a great running back in Mike Davis. They've got great receivers, and you know they believe that they got good personnel on defense, even though they're missing some of their star qualities over there from last year. But I'm excited, man. I just can't wait to get it going.
Me too. And I want to start with something in Tuscaloosa from the Bama football team. And I talked to you about this a little bit in Hoover during SEC Media Days. But for our audience, tell us what it's like. I don't care if it's Blake Sims, Jake Coker. I know they've got some guys to throw it to. But when they turn around and they're ready to hand the football off, their options are T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry, or Kenyon Drake in all likelihood. Now, it's usually going to be just one of those guys back there.
Right.
The only guy that I can think of that knows what that's like is you. But you were sitting there with three at a time. How tough was that call? William Andrews, James Brooks.
Lots and lots of fun, Chris. I had William Andrews and Joe Cribbs and James Brooks in my backfield, and they were all just such great guys too. We were all really close friends, and we loved competing. They were all great competitors, and each of them had a different skill set, kind of like Alabama's tailbacks right now. Because T.J. Yeldon, I look at T.J. Yeldon, and I call him more of a slasher type runner. He is a guy that is dangerous every time he touches a football. He's got great speed. He's got great vision. Great feet. TJ occasionally has maybe a habit of dancing a little bit too much in a hole instead of using that great ability and size that he's got to slash on through. But I tell you what, he's been phenomenal in his first 2 years for Alabama, and there's no reason to think that he won't be in his third year. But then you got a guy like Derrick Henry, who is a hammer, who can come in, and he is. You're talking about change of pace now. When Derrick Henry comes in the game, a change of pace is exactly what the defense is going to get. And he'll hit you right in the mouth or run around you. It doesn't matter. Either way, Derrick Henry's going to get yards. I mean, he averages almost 10 yards a carry. Kenyon Drake, he is, to me, the closest runner to James Brooks or Joe Cribbs of those three. Very, very shifty, got great speed, great acceleration, dangerous every time he catches the ball out of the backfield or takes the ball from the quarterback. I just think Alabama has so many weapons in the backfield that you know, Lane Kiffin is gonna have to say eeny, meeny, miny, moe to know who to throw the ball to or know who to give the ball to, because he's just got so many people. I mean, you gotta. The other thing that might be a problem is trying to keep everybody happy. You know, is trying to get Kenyon Drake enough carries. Trying to get Derrick Henry enough carries. I think that T.J. Yeldon and Derrick Henry will get enough, but you know, last year Kenyon Drake kind of was left out. He was the odd man out, if you will. And he's got such great talent that you know he's just earning respect by all of his teammates, and everybody expects him to do great things when he gets on the field.
Charlie Trotman, the former Auburn quarterback, now radio show co-host in Montgomery with my buddy Doug Amos, kind enough to join us here on Tide 99.1. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. How much of the decision for Nick Saban right now is based on the locker room dynamic? And by that I mean you've got a kid who's not just been with you for four, now moving into his fifth year in Blake Sims. It's a popular young man. And
no doubt.
And I've got to think Jake Coker, almost as a favor to Jake Coker, he's got to let him truly win this job, doesn't he? In order to forget the football part of it, the locker room, the leadership, that type stuff is why you need to make sure you've got it exactly right, don't you?
You really do, Chris. This is very, very important for the Alabama football team, for their chemistry, for all the relationships that are in the locker room. You just think about Blake Sims having been there and having toiled behind A.J. McCarron for all these years, and he finally gets his opportunity, and he's going to be the starting quarterback at Alabama, but yet you bring in a guy who's a transfer who's got great ability. Everybody acknowledges the fact that Jacob Coker is tremendously talented. He's not only a great kid, but, you know, he's got all the physical tools to be a great quarterback at Alabama. And so Blake Sims has to be, you know, disappointed and disheartened to some degree that you know, he doesn't win this job outright, that now he's got to go into a competition in the fall after having a really good spring. Not a great spring game, but a really good spring. And everybody believes that he's got the ability to really play well at the quarterback position for Alabama, but then again, he's got to compete with Jacob Coker. I would say this. The one thing that I have heard that I'm really most impressed with about Blake Sims is how he has welcomed the challenge and how he's welcomed in Jacob Coker, because he could have taken the different tack. You know, he could have said, I'm in competition with this guy. I'm not going to help him any way I can. Anything that I can do to take a step forward in the competition, I'm going to take, and he's on his own. But that's not what he's done. From everything I gather, Chris, Blake Sims has been a team player. He has been helpful to Jacob Coker. He's offered assistance in helping him understand the offense, and you know he's been there to really cheer him on when he's the one that is under center. They've taken the tact, I think, at practice of, you know, when they had two-a-days, one guy would go with the ones in the morning, the other guy would go with the ones in the afternoon. That's hard. That I can tell you from experience, that's hard as a quarterback when you believe that you ought to be the number one guy to see somebody else take snaps with the number ones. That's a hard thing. And I'm just really impressed with everything I've heard about Blake Sims, because it sounds like he wants Alabama to win first and foremost. And if he's the quarterback, great. If Jacob Coker's the quarterback, then he'll support him. And you couldn't ask for anything more than that. But, yeah, exactly. You know, I think that Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin have got to get this right. And they've got three games to do it. And they, you know, there's no hurry. I don't think that, you know, the West Virginia game by itself has to tell the tale. And I think the Florida Atlantic and the Southern Miss games are both other games that they can use as testing grounds for these two quarterbacks, because they have got to, whoever it is, and I think that Nick Saban does want there to be one quarterback. I don't think that either Lane Kiffin or Nick Saban wants to have a two-quarterback system the whole season. But whoever the guy is, they have got to have absolute, total, and full confidence in what he's done to that point to win the job. So I think that, you know, Alabama's schedule sets up perfectly for having this quarterback competition really earned on the field. Whoever's going to win the job is going to earn it on the field.
Talking to Charlie Trotman here on Tide 99.1. Down on the plains, it's clearly Nick Marshall that's the guy, but he has got a very good backup in Jeremy Johnson. You know he's going to play, and certainly with this going into the opening game, you're going to see both of these guys play a good bit. But I'm really curious to see the running back slot. A lot of talent, a lot of depth. I am a great admirer of Rock Thomas. I saw him play in person. School a time or two, and it sounds like he, maybe more than the other freshmen, is pushing those guys ahead of him for playing time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Rock Thomas is the guy that's going to get some carries. Cameron Artis Payne will be the starter, and right behind Cameron Artis Payne, Corey Grant will get some carries. And Corey Grant, it remains to be seen, Chris, whether Corey Grant, he tried to prove to the coaches in spring training and in fall camp that he can run between the tackles, because really Auburn has used him, and you know him well because, you know, he was at Alabama and then he transferred to Auburn, and he is a speed guy, got great acceleration, great speed, and Auburn used him in that jet sweep capacity almost exclusively. But he has wanted to be an every-down back, and so they've given him the opportunity to do that. So those are your first two guys. But then Peyton Barber, who is a kid from Georgia who has got really good talent and is another one of those guys that's possibly getting lost in the shuffle some, he is the third running back. And then you got the two freshmen, Rock Thomas and Cameron Petway. Rock Thomas has proven to everybody, he's made some big plays in fall camp. He's had some good touchdown runs. He's shown great ability, really good maturity for a kid his age. And they're going to give him some carries against Arkansas and see what he can do. I think they're going to redshirt Cameron Petway. But Rock Thomas is the kid that, you know, he's the five-star kid that, you know, everybody wants to see what he can do. And all the Auburn fans are going to be on the edge of their seats because they've heard great things about Rock Thomas. And kind of like LSU with Leonard Fournette, Leonard Fournette, the nation's number one running back, will, you know, have his debut against Wisconsin Saturday night. You know, and Rock Thomas will have his debut, and everybody's anxious to see what the kid can do because, you know, we know he's got great talent, and we've heard great things about him, and the coaches have all, you know, sung his praises. So we just we're anxious and looking forward to seeing what Rock Thomas can do.
Before I let you run, I'm running. South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU all will have basically first-year starters at quarterback.
Right.
How much better are they going to be by week three? All of them. Whoever gets the nod in their respective you know, whatever school you're talking about, I should say.
Right.
How much better are they going to get from week one to week three? How much will the game slow down for them in that third week as opposed to what it's going to be like on those first two series on either Thursday or Saturday for them?
Chris, I'll just give you my personal experience. I was a sophomore and did not play much when I was a freshman. I actually played running back a little bit when we had some people hurt, and I didn't get a redshirt, so I ended up, you know, vying for the quarterback job as a sophomore. Well, my first game that I played as a sophomore in our first game, everything was so fast. Everything moved so quickly. I had a really hard time adjusting to it. Reading the defenses, you know, trying to go through my progressions. We didn't throw the ball a lot, but when we did, trying to make the right reads, and the speed of the game was just so different. It was even different than practice. Practice, you got used to. You know, you got into a routine, and you saw some of the same people, obviously, when you were going against the defense or the scout team, and you just didn't have the same it doesn't have the same effect. I'm just telling you, game time is very, very different. So these guys will be markedly better in game three than they are in game one. In game two and three, for me, things started slowing down a little bit. I learned by the mistakes that I made early and tried not to make those same mistakes. And for those quarterbacks that are all starting for the first time, it is going to be very different in that first game, especially in the first half. The first half of the first game, I can't tell you what a different experience that is. That you know, you're confident of your ability, but you're hesitant. That's a good way for me to put it. You're sure. A little bit hesitant, and you're not sure of your decision making. And when you go into that second and third game, you're less hesitant, and your decision making becomes more solid, and you become a better quarterback. And that's the best way I can say it. And I think in week three, and really throughout the season, the quarterbacks will all get better because there's nothing. I mean, you can hear it said a million times by coaches, but there is nothing like experience in an actual game.
All right, so I'm coming to Montgomery tonight. I get to hang out with you and Doug. Ben Tamborello, Craig James.
Yeah, tell me
what
really
I'm walking into
about
tonight.
Being here.
We're at Landmark Church. It's a kickoff, college football kickoff. Tell the listeners what it is we're going to be doing tonight.
Yeah, Chris will be here. Chris Stewart's going to join Doug Amos, and they're going to actually do a segment where the two of you talk a little bit about your own careers and, you know, how you guys
that
have got to where
long.
You are. How your faith has played such a vital part in that. Craig James, part of the Pony Express, he and Eric Dickerson were the two great running backs for SMU years ago, and then he played for the Patriots, and he is going to give a great message. His message is basically that, you know, to take a stand in your life, that you may lose something for doing that, which he did. He was you know, canceled basically by the networks for taking a stand against same-sex marriages, and Craig James has that message that he will be given tonight, and we're just going to have a great time with Ben Tamborello. You, Doug, and myself will all have a segment where we will actually handicap kind of what's going on in the SEC and in the national race this year, especially it being the first time we'll have the 4-team playoff. So, Chris, we're looking really forward to it. I know the people in Montgomery are going to love having you here. And, man, safe travels on your way down here.